To order, will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 16 members present this morning. Senators Green and Pierce are excused from a call of the Senate.
Please stand for the invocation by Robert Taverner of the Church of Christ.
Father, Creator, and Protector, the request this day is for your guidance over this assembly and the decisions made in this day. Please provide for and protect each senator and their families. Thank you for the freedom that each of us enjoys. Thank you for your love and care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Senator Ellis, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Would the Secretary certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 31st legislative day.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journal will be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. Senate will briefly stand at ease. Order. I believe we're under introduction of guests. Senator Donnelly.
Mr. President, my late mother never made it to Juneau while I was a legislator, and other than the one time I got to introduce my father, since I've served in the legislative body, I can't think of an introduction that has meant more to me than the one I'm about to make, and that's of Lieutenant Governor Red Foucher. As you all know, Red served as the mayor of Fairbanks from 1966 to 1970. He was Lieutenant Governor, Alaska's first Lieutenant Governor, under Bill Egan. Now, he was also had the honor of being the third person to hold the second highest position, because prior to him, that position was Secretary of State. I served with him in the House of Representatives, where he served from 1985 to 1990, and he founded and chaired the House Special Committee on Telecommunications, which was a breakthrough that did a lot of good work to prepare us for the technological boom in telecommunications that we've experienced here over the last decade. And January 27th was Red's 80th birthday, and unfortunately I wasn't able to attend his birthday party, but that was a really special moment, I know, in his life. And as many of you know, that Red was a sailor on the USS Enterprise at the beginning of World War II, and of course, praise God that the Enterprise was out to sea on December 7th, 1941, and wasn't damaged in the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, but lived on and helped fight and win the war in the Pacific. And I had the privilege of touring the aircraft carrier Nimitz when it was in Anchorage about 10 years ago with Red. And Red wore his uniform, his chief petty officer uniform, which still fit him, and was amazingly heavy with ribbons and awards at the time. And I got to tell you, there were some really memorable moments during that tour where young naval officers would notice the ribbons on Red's uniform and would stop and say, excuse me, Chief, what's that battle ribbon there? And it was really amazing how they would come to attention and salute when Red would answer, well, that one's for the Battle of Midway. So I was sorry I couldn't attend your 80th birthday, Red, but last week I arranged for a United States flag to be flown over the Arizona Memorial in Pearl Harbor. And I wanted to take this opportunity of you being with us today to present this wonderful symbol of our nation and the service you performed for both the state of Alaska and the United States to you in honor of your 80th birthday.
Red, as a lieutenant governor, you presided over the Senate and the swearing-in of senators. I consider that a former member, if you have anything you wish to say.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. I love this flag. I love that flag. And I'm always proud when I come into this building where the tough job of serving the people, you're in the arena. A lot of people are up there like in the old Roman Empire doing this or this. But no matter which party you are, you're Alaskans. And keep up the good work. We've got a tough job in front of you. Anything that I can do to help any of you at any time. If I may, Mr. President, I'd like to introduce Dan Grimm. These are all with Compact, but Dan is a bit different. He was that right-handed pitcher that helped pitch the Gold Panthers in 1972 into the first national championship. And he is now the senior systems engineer for Compact Computer, Rick Blake with Compact, and Steve Knobson. And we're here for Compact and trying to develop a vision for the future and help our state get there. God bless you. And Dave, I thought it was going to be kind of short. Thank you very much. It means an awful lot to me. Thank you.
Further guests for introduction, Senator Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The last introduction is a tough one to top because, at least especially for me, I stood alongside of Red when we celebrated his 65th birthday in the House, and we served there together. I have the privilege of having a fifth grade school teacher with me today from White Cliff School in Ketchikan, and if she'd please stand, Liz Bowers. And with her is one of her students, Catherine Bullock. And Catherine, would you please stand? And they've come up to visit the Capitol today, if you'd help me welcome them.
Further introduction, Senator Phillips.
Mr. President, in the Ziegler Gallery, I have a friend and a neighbor, a constituent, a member of our community. He's also the CEO for Alaska Boys and Girls Club, John Oak.
Further guests for introduction? Senator Ellis.
Thanks, Mr. President. I can't think of a better day to be a guest page in the body than the day that we get to introduce former Lieutenant Governor Red Boucher. So it's a special privilege for me today to introduce Stephanie Webb. She is here as a member of the government class, and as our rules chair often does, I'd like to read to you her description of herself. My name is Stephanie Webb. I'm 17 years old and a senior in high school. I'm doing this community service for a project in government. If the members of the body look closely, they'll note a startling resemblance to her mother, Angie Webb, who has worked in this building for many, many years, assisting all of us in doing our job. If the body could help me welcome Stephanie.
Further guests for introduction? Brings us to messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
There are no messages from the House this morning.
Communications.
There are no communications this morning.
Reports to standing committees.
Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill number 64 relating to the award of a high school diploma to certain World War II veterans, recommends a HES committee substitute, previous zero fiscal note attached, signing due pass, Senator Green, Chair, Senators Lehman, Ward, Wilkin, and Davis. Senate Bill number 64 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution number 9 relating to the development and deployment of the National Missile Defense System. Recommends calendar, signing the report, Senator Cowdery, Vice Chair, Senators Phillips and Terrio, signing under other recommendation, I hope it works someday, Senator Ellis. Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution number 12, urging the United States Congress to amend the tax code to reduce the marriage penalty, and Senate Concurrent Resolution number 2, relating to declaring March 2001 as Sobriety Awareness Month. Recommends calendar, signing the reports, Senator Cowdery, Vice Chair, Senators Terrio, Ellis, and Phillips. These resolutions appear on today's calendar. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports to special committees?
There are no special committee reports this morning.
Introduction to Senate resolutions?
There are no Senate resolutions for introduction this morning.
Introduction to Senate bills?
Senate Bill number 77 by Senator Torgerson, an act repealing the exemption that applies to collection and payment of interest of $150 or less on royalty or net profit share underpayments and overpayments, and providing for an effective date.
Resources, finance.
Senate Bill number 78 by Senator Taylor, by a request, an act relating to municipal regulation of radio antennas.
CNRA.
Senate Bill number 79 by Senators Osterman, Halford, and Ward, an act naming the Fred Sharoff Memorial Bridge.
Transportation.
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Could we stand at ease, please? Will the Senate please come back to order? We're on the consideration of the daily calendar, Madam Secretary. Oh, Senator Lehman. Without objection, Senator Lincoln will be shown as excused due to illness. Senator Taylor.
Yes.
Senator Taylor.
I have both a city council member, Gary Lewis, and seated next to him from Wrangell, and seated next to him is Kathy Schmidt. And Kathy has also been active in various boards and committees within the community. So I wanted to welcome both of them to the community and to remind everyone that Wrangell's reception is tonight. We've got all kinds of fresh gooey duck and fish and shrimp and everything. Mm. And they're the people that brought it to you. So help me welcome them.
Back to the calendar, Madam Secretary.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 9 by Senator Lehman relating to the development and deployment of the National Missile Defense System. State Affairs Committee considered the resolution. Zero fiscal note attached, signing due pass. Senator Terrio chair, Senators Phillips and Davis. Rules Committee considered the resolution, recommends calendar, signing the report. Senator Cowdery vice chair, Senators Phillips and Terrio, signing under other recommendations, Senator Ellis. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 9 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Joint Resolution 9 is considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 9 relating to the development and deployment of the National Missile Defense System.
Senator Donnelly.
It's unanimous consent to be shown as a co-sponsor of Senate Joint Resolution.
Without objection, Senator Donnelly will be added as a co-sponsor, as will Senator Taylor, Senator Wilkin, and Senator Ward, and Senator Osterman. Is there debate? Senator Taylor?
Yes, thank you. In 1997, I introduced as a Judiciary Committee bill, Joint Resolution Number 6. That called upon the federal government to provide defense for the state of Alaska. Defense in the form of a national missile defense system. I was encouraged to do this by various people from retired military folks and of significant note that had traveled to Alaska because of their concerns about the expansion of, if you will, third world nations and renegade nations, people like North Korea. And they warned us at the time that should we fail to do this, that North Korea had missiles available to it, silkworm missiles that had been given to them by the Chinese, and that though they only had a single stage silkworm missile at that time, that missile could in fact reach almost to Alaska. They were fearful that within the near future, the two-stage silkworm missile would be available to them, or at least its technology, and with that, they would be able to reach all of Alaska, all of northern and western Washington state and Oregon, and reach as far as the northernmost boundaries of the state of California. At the time, the audit being done and the report made to our National Security Council indicated that they're supposed to report, as you know, to the president and tell him what the threats are to America. Because the report appeared to be weak, a request was made that Donald Rumsfeld, would actually do an audit of that report. This occurred after we in this legislature passed that first resolution. Mr. Rumsfeld did an audit of the report and came up with some of these very same concepts that had been given to this legislature about a year before, and that was that the threat was not only real, but that according to his report, within the next 5 years, that North Korea would have such a capability. It was about 7 months later that North Korea launched a two-stage missile that went all the way down over all of the Japanese islands and landed in the Sea of Japan. And if you just took a pin and put it on a globe and hooked a string to it for where that missile landed in the Sea of Japan and swung that arc of that string, the arc of that string brought you into northernmost Oregon, almost all the state of Washington, and every bit of the state of Alaska. Which meant that North Korea, if they had nuclear capabilities, and we believe they do have small nuclear capabilities, would have the opportunity to drop a theater-class weapon onto Alaska, wiping out our pipeline, which is at this time maybe as much as 35 to 50% of the energy available on the west coast of the United States, and would also have the opportunity by dropping one in the Anchorage Bowl, one in the Fairbanks area, to wipe out almost every response asset that America has that could quickly respond to the North Koreans going across the border and into South Korea. This is a very real threat. Last night on television, I watched the CIA, Mr. Tenet, giving a report to the United States Senate in their defense committee on what the threats were from everything from Iraq to Iran, North Korea, China, and others, Pakistan and so on, and the development of nuclear threat around the world and the advancement of these missiles. We then passed a second resolution similar to this one. That was in 98. Since that time, President Clinton reviewed but did not deploy the missile defense system just last year. Deployment is probably not yet readily available because the technology has to catch up yet on this, but at least the funding is still moving forward. The reason I'm giving you this history and background is that Alaska has been a leader in calling upon our federal government to provide this type of defensive network. And this network is now going to be of tremendous import, not only to us, but to all of our allies who may be threatened by these other people from other parts of the world. And I did want to note the historic significance of it. The first resolution which we passed out of the Judiciary Committee and through both this body and the other in 1996, that was the first time in the history of the United States that a state had called upon the federal government and asked it to defend it. That resolution that was passed here has now been utilized by various people across the United States to make certain that the missile defense program not only gets built, but that it gets based here in Alaska, because geographically we're the only place in the world on U.S. soil that you can put those missiles that will provide significant protection to the west coast of the United States. Our protection today, by the way, Mr. President, comes out of Omaha, Nebraska. A missile coming out of Omaha can't even get to one until it's already hit Alaska. So that's why this missile defense system that we've been advocating for now for at least 5-6 years is very important. I think it gained national attention in the campaigns that went on. And now we have, I believe, the responsibility to follow through with that and to make certain that it's not only deployed, but it's deployed in Alaska. So I applaud the sponsor for bringing this matter before us again. And I want to thank everyone for their support on this issue in the past.
Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, I appreciate the historical review by the senator from Wrangell. And I share with him the concern about the threat of from other nations. And it's clear that we currently don't have the means to protect our nation from ballistic missile attack. As he said, the threat is real, and just last month, the last part of the Clinton administration, the Department of Defense issued a report called Proliferation, Threat and Response. And in this report, it states that 25 countries now possess or are in the process of acquiring and developing weapons of mass destruction and the means to deliver them. And in the report, former Secretary of Defense Bill Cohen says, "Our unrivaled supremacy in the conventional military arena is prompting adversaries to seek unconventional, asymmetric means to strike what they perceive as our Achilles heel. The race is on between our preparations and those of our adversaries. There is not a moment to lose." In response to this growing threat, the U.S. has been developing the National Missile Defense System. It's former President Clinton did delay the project somewhat, but we have an opportunity right now to get that back on track and get it back on schedule. Alaska has been mentioned as a preferred site for the location of some key system components, including the forward radar site at Shemya, and perhaps even some of the ground-based interceptors, most likely at Fort Greely. There's broad support for this development of this, certainly in Alaska, but also across the United States. President Bush has indicated his support for moving ahead with a system that may include some of these components. Both of our U.S. senators have indicated their support, and they have provided me with letters of support for this resolution. Mr. President, we need to protect all 50 states from ballistic missile attack, and I just ask you and the others to join me in calling upon the President to move forward with development and deployment of the National Missile Defense System as soon as possible.
Further debate? If there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is final passage on third reading of Senate Joint Resolution Number 9. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the Secretary please record the roll? And so Senate Joint Resolution Number 9 has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas and no nays. Madam Secretary.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 12 by Senators Lehman, Wilkin, Taylor, Kelly, Green, Ward, Pierce, Cowdery, Osterman, Hoffman, and Halford, urging the United States Congress to amend the tax code to reduce the marriage penalty. State Affairs Committee considered the resolution. Zero fiscal note attached. Signing due pass. Senator Terrio, Chair. Senators Phillips and Davis. Rules Committee considered the resolution. Recommended calendar. Signing the report. Senator Cowdery, Vice Chair. Senators Terrio, Ellis, and Phillips. There's an amendment number 1 by Senators Halford and Lehman.
Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, on your behalf, I move the adoption of amendment number 1.
Without objection, amendment number 1 is adopted. If there's no debate, Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 12, as amended, be considered in gross defense, third reading, and placed in the final passage.
Without objection, Senate Joint Resolution 12 is before us in third reading. Is there debate? She has to read.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 12, title amended, urging the United States Congress to amend the tax code to eliminate the marriage penalty.
Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, as with the other resolution, this is a topic that we have visited before with the previous legislature. Senate Joint Resolution 12 expresses our support for removing the imbalance in the federal tax code that taxes a married couple more than two single people who would share the same household. This marriage penalty in Alaska is estimated to affect 67,000 Alaskans. And the Congressional Budget Office estimates that married couples pay an average of $1,400 more in additional taxes just because they are married. While the tax code is complex, and we heard in committee hearings from a CPA who does a lot of work in taxes that there are over 60 provisions in the tax code that affect or that produce marriage penalties, the two main provisions that do are the standard deduction and the graduated rate structure. The Congress has recognized this, and just last year passed the Marriage Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2000. However, that was vetoed by President Clinton. The Congress is again working on changes to the tax code. I'd like to see Alaska step up and indicate its support for this. Again, our congressional delegation supports this, and I urge other members to join me in supporting this resolution.
Senator Donnelly.
Consent to be shown as a co-sponsor of Senate Joint Resolution 12.
Without objection, Senator Donnelly will be added as a co-sponsor as well as Senator Taylor. If there's no further debate, the question is final passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 12, title amended. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 12, title amended, has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas to no nays. Madam Secretary.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2 by Senator Ward relating to declaring March 2001 as Sobriety Awareness Month. Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the resolution, recommended a Hess Committee substitute, zero fiscal note attached, signing due pass, Senator Green, Chair, Senators Wilkin, Lehman, Ward, and Davis. Rules Committee considered the resolution, recommended calendaring, signing the report, Senator Cowdery, Vice Chair, Senators Phillips, Terrio, and Ellis. There is a Hess Committee substitute.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original resolution.
Without objection, the Hess Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2, Hess, relating to declaring March 2001 as Sobriety Awareness Month. I have no amendments.
The resolution is a concurrent resolution. It's before us in final passage. Is there debate? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I plan to support the resolution. I think I've done that on a number of occasions in previous years. I just wanted to pose the question. I think the correct committee chair may be absent today, but someone may know if this... let me just say, Mr. President, that many of us came to Juneau thinking that alcohol control and anti-drunk driving efforts would be a big topic this year, and I hope it will be. I just wondered if this was just the first of some things we would do together to combat this problem, or if this represents the whole package for anti-drunk driving and tobacco control. Is there more to come from the majority on this important subject? Because we want to work with you on it if there's more to do, and if someone could give us a preview of that, of what's to come, I would appreciate it.
Senator Ward.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I believe that this, all the issues that the previous speaker just spoke about are extremely important. The devastating effects of alcohol, drugs, and inhalants on the citizens of Alaska, we can't even begin to measure them because dollars don't really make any difference. It's the amount of families and homes that are being destroyed on a daily basis. And what the Sobriety Month does for March since 1995, and I applaud this body for taking this issue up, what this does, this honors sobriety, where some couple decades ago, when the movies and peer pressures, people had a cigarette in their hand and a martini in their other hand, and they were considered the leaders of the community. And what this does, this holds up those people that want to live and honor a sobriety life. And we are telling the people in our schools, our university, because this resolution not only goes on the Iditarod with Mike Williams in order to honor the AFN sobriety movement, but more importantly, it's discussed in some 200 villages as well as every large community during the month of March. And this gives permission and honor from this body and the other body, hopefully, and what it does, it says to those people and those children and to all Alaskans, we honor those people that want to live a life of sobriety. And we honor those people that say that it is a proper and a good function in society. And for the last 5 years or 6 years, we have been doing that. And yes, it is a beginning process. And I think that long before we started introducing this resolution, people did honor those people. But this has brought it to the forefront where there are actually celebration, potlatches, dances, ceremonies, where we honor those who live a sober life and embrace sobriety. And so, yes, it is the beginning. There's a long ways to come, but I'm very proud of this body for taking that step.
Further debate, Senator Taylor?
I just wanted to say thank you to a colleague on this one. My friend from South Anchorage, who just spoke, brought this issue to us when he first arrived in the Senate 5 years ago. He has been consistent in his advocacy of that and his advocacy as concerns sobriety and as concerns the problems that devastate our state involved with alcohol, drugs, and inhalants in the committee work he has done and the advocacy that he has taken up on every committee whenever these subjects arrive. And I wanted to thank him for that. I wanted to thank him because this March, on March 18th, I will celebrate my 26th year of sobriety. I quit drinking on March 18th, 1975. My last drink was a double scotch on the rocks as I headed south on Alaska Airlines. And I would not have been here but for that. I would not have the lovely wife I have today and the family I have today but for that. And my heart goes out to, and I stand ready and willing to assist anyone out there, and have done so in the past, to find that life of sobriety as opposed to the other alternative. When the day comes that you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're probably ready to try her one day at a time like some of the rest of us do. And I just really want to thank the courage that my colleague from South Anchorage has shown to step forward on this issue and to stand tall on. So thank you very much.
Further debate? Senator Lehman?
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on this resolution.
Senator Lehman will be added as a co-sponsor, as will Senator Donnelly, Taylor, Wilkin, Ellis, Terrio, Davis, Cowdery, Elton, and myself, and Senator Olson. Is there further debate? If not, Senate Committee Substitute SCR 2 Hess is before us for final passage. Will the members please vote? Have all members voted, and does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please record the roll? So, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, Hess, has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas to 0 nays. Senator Terrio. Senate will stand at ease. Passage of SJR 12 on the board. They wrote it as SCR 12, and I read it that way. It had gone from second to third reading and been in every way treated as a joint resolution. That was a typo. Just so everybody knows that, the journal will reflect what actually happened. Thank you, Senator Terrio, for pointing it out. I think that brings us to unfinished business. No, we still... Oh, we have citations still. Okay, excuse me.
Citations honoring Nate Forster, Eagle Scout, honoring Ryan Welch, Eagle Scout, honoring Paul Mandesiger, Eagle Scout, honoring Curtis Engbrisson, Eagle Scout.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the four citations honoring the Eagle Scouts be approved.
Without objection, citations appearing on today's calendar are approved. And now we're at unfinished business. Senator Ward.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two items for unfinished business. First, I'd like to request permission to become a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 65, an act requiring a pay equity study.
Without objection, you'll be added as a co-sponsor of Senate Bill 65.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next item is, I agree, request permission of the body be excused on state business on February the 23rd.
Without objection, Senator Ward will be excused on state business February 23rd. Senator Hoffman.
Mr. President, with the permission of the sponsor, I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 79, an act naming the Fred Zaroff Memorial Bridge.
Without objection, Senator Hoffman will be added to Senate Bill 79, as will Senator Lehman, Senator Taylor, Senator Elton, Senator Davis. Senator Cowdery.
Thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent today to be excused from the call of the Senate on February the 15th and the 16th, as well as on February the 23rd.
Without objection, Senator Cowdery will be excused on February 15th, 16th, and 23rd. Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the House on February 23rd for state business.
Without objection, Senator Elton will be excused on February 23rd. Senator Osterman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on Friday, February the 9th for state business.
Without objection, Senator Osterman will be excused on Friday, February 9th. Senator Davis?
Thank you, Mr. President. I also move and ask for unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on February 16th. Playing time the 19th for state and personal business.
Without objection, Senator Davis will be excused as requested on state and personal business. Is there further unfinished business? Senator Hoffman.
Yes, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent to extend my leave. I'm excused on February 23rd. I'd also like to be excused on February 22nd.
Without objection, Senator Hoffman will be excused on February 22nd. Further unfinished business. Announcements? Senator Taylor.
I just wanted to remind everybody again that 5:30 this afternoon down at the Baranoff, the city of Wrangell will be hosting a reception for the legislature. You're all invited, as are your staff, and it has turned into probably the best seafood feed we see around Juneau every year now, and they're even going to have fresh gooey duck. So for those of you that haven't had any gooey duck in a while, we've got some of that flown in special for you.
Thank you, Senator Taylor. Further announcements? Special orders? Senator Lehman.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate adjourn until 11 a.m. Friday, February 9th.
Without objection, we're adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow.